greatness and goodness, Father. You are great, Lord. And Father, you've given us the very breath that we breathe. You said in your word that you give us life and breath and everything, Father. And so, Lord, we'll take that very breath that you've given to us, and we will declare your goodness and worship you and honor you in the earth, Father. For you are good, Father, and your mercy endures forever. You are good, Father, and your mercy endures forever. This breath, Father, that we have, we will declare your goodness, Father, to all of the world, to let them know that you are good and that you are kind and merciful and long-suffering and full of joy and peace, Father. We thank you, Lord, for giving us such great blessings through your Son. You are kind, Father, and gentle to us, your people. Father, we thank you that you have empowered us to go into all the world, Father, and preach your good news, to tell the world how good you really are, how kind and big and generous you really are. Lord, we thank you. We will use the breath that you've given to us, Father, to only worship you. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy, for your kindness, Father.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Pastor Gary, do you have anything from the Lord? Well, praise God. Well, is the Lord good? Well, we appreciate his goodness and kindness. Amen. And of course, our friends from Canada, Pastor Gary and Kathy, they pastor a church up in the northern part of Canada. And so I don't know how many folks they got in the church, but they got two polar bears that come to church there. So they're that far up north, right? So, but the Lord has called them to be trailblazers up there. And, you know, sometimes the assignment of the Lord, he cares enough about the people to send you in a place that other people may think would be difficult. But if you go in the will of God, it's all easy, right? Amen. And so we thank the Lord for his goodness, and we appreciate your faithfulness to do what the Lord has called you to do. Amen. At the end of the day, all we get measured on is your faithfulness. Amen. If you're faithful to save and preach the gospel to get one person saved, and that's all the Lord needs you on the earth to do, well, praise God, you know. Right. You know, we thank God for the Billy Grahams of the world to get millions saved, but that's what he was called to do. Amen. And so the faithfulness is the greatest thing you can ever develop in your life. Amen. So praise God. Well, let's open up our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll get started today. So we started teaching on the subject of spirit, soul, and body because the Lord wants us to learn about spirit, soul, and body. That's really why we did it. But, you know, the value for us is if you learn how you were made, right? If you learn how the Lord designed you as a human being, that will be of great value in your life. Amen. We're not trying to make you experts at other things. You know, I could teach you how an internal combustion engine works. That's not going to do you a lot of good. Amen. You still push on the same pedal and still press on the same brake, and that's it, right? And as far as you're concerned, it's magic. You push a pedal and something happens, right? And for most people, that's fine. Amen. Doesn't do them any good to learn how that internal combustion works. Amen. I can tell you how the stars spin around, how the earth spins around the stars, and I can tell you a lot of things. Amen. I was trained as an engineer. You want to get into stress and strains and, you know, fracture mechanics. How much time do you have, and how awake can you be, right? I'll probably put you to sleep really quick. But now me and Jared's an engineer. We can talk about all kinds of things. And Chris just looks at it like, you know, there's something wrong over there. We'll talk about stuff, you know, technical things. And that's okay, amen. I'm not going to talk about those with you, but I can talk to you about how the spirit, soul, and body works, amen. Yeah. If you learn that, see, you'll understand a lot of problems in your life of what, you know, why am I not as successful over here as I could be? I see them over there successful. Why am I not successful? And a lot of times if you understand how things working, oh, okay, well, that makes sense, right? The more you know, if I've got a problem in my engine, usually the way I fix it, I just turn the stereo up. Right, and that way you don't hear it, And the problem goes away. Amen. Well, that's a really fixity thing. Amen. And so a lot of times people fix things by just ignoring them and hope they go away in their personal lives and their spiritual lives. But if you understood how things work, see, some people can hear a noise and go, oh, that's obviously the Knutter valve, right? And I don't know how they know that, but they just hear that and they go, that's obviously that. Amen. Because they're trained in the knowledge of how those things work. If you can get that same understanding in your life about how spirit, soul, and body works, when you're having difficulty or struggles in your life, you go, oh, well, that's this thing over here. Then the Word of God will rise up and go, well, here's how to fix that. Amen. And that's really where you want to be in your life, is you can know the Word of God. You don't have to be able to know, you know, book, chapter, and verse, what page it is. You know, a lot of times I can tell you what page, you know, it's on the right side page, left page, first column, second column, you know, I can tell you exactly where that is, right? And one time we had a test when I was in engineering school, and it was just one of those things where you had to know the formula. Well, I didn't know the formula, but I told the professor, I said, I don't know the formula. I said, but it's on the right-hand page. There's a picture on that page. It's on the first column. It's about two-thirds of the way down, and that's where the formula is right there. I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you exactly where it is, right? And he gave me half credit. I thought, hey, I'll take half credit, right, for that right there. So you don't have to know exactly, you know, it's in, you know, 2 Hesitations chapter 4. But if you just kind of know what it means, amen, you can go back and find it. You can look it up. You can research it. And you know, with computers nowadays, you can find anything. But it's helpful to understand these things, amen. And so that's why we're studying that. And so here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says in verse 23, it said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when God created mankind in the garden, he created mankind in three pieces, spirit, soul, and body. You know, we talked about how Adam was formed from the dust of the clay. But you remember what it says later on, that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became, the Old Testament says, a living soul. But really, he became a living spirit, right? We didn't have as much insight in the Old Covenant about the spirit man as we do in the New Testament. But Adam became a living spirit because 1 John, or the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 9, says God lights every man that comes into the world. So God turns that light on, that light of their spiritual life. Amen? Their body comes from the DNA of their parents, but the spiritual aspect of that human being comes from God himself. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that God is a father of spirits. So every human being has a portion of God in them. And that's why every human being is drawn to God. Even if they don't know God, they're drawn to him. You know, I told you I was raised as a Catholic, but we didn't go to Mass. We didn't study the Bible. We never prayed together as a family. But all my life, I was drawn to the Lord. At first, I can tell you, when I was first or second grade, praying to the Lord. Well, how did you know how to pray to the Lord? I don't know. I was drawn to the Lord. All my life, I was drawn to the Lord. We were with a group of ministers not long ago, and they were all telling their stories. And every one of them, yeah, I grew up in church and I backslid. I became a heathen, drugs and alcohol and stuff. And I'm thinking, you bunch of heathens? All my life I wanted God. You all had God and walked away from him. I wanted God, couldn't find him. And I didn't, you know, I didn't say that, but, you know, I thought, you bunch of heathens, you know. Because sometimes they look at you like, what's wrong with you, right? I didn't grow up in church and backslide. Once I found God, I've been with God the whole time. Amen. And that doesn't make me better or worse than anybody. That's just my path that I've been on. And so I wanted God all my life. And I finally found him, right? We had to move to Tennessee to find him because in New Hampshire, he's not allowed to be up there, I guess. And so we came to Tennessee. And when my dad said we were going to move to Tennessee, I was excited because my knowledge, as you know, I knew everything. I was fifth grade, right? I already know everything in fifth grade, so I knew everybody in Tennessee went to church because we watched the Waltons, you know, because they were a big family. We were a big family, so you had to watch the Waltons, and they all went to church. I think they're actually in North Carolina, though, weren't they in North Carolina? So I thought, well, everybody in the South goes to church because we saw the Waltons, and so we knew all that there was to know. But sure enough, when we moved to Tennessee, I started going to church, and found the Lord. Amen. And so, and been with him ever since, and we thank the Lord for that. But I didn't know anything about the Word. I didn't know spirit, soul, and body. I didn't know about any of these things. And so it's helpful for us to know these things because it will assist us in our daily walk with the Lord. And so we've been talking about the spirit man itself, and the spirit, your spirit is a part of you that gets born again. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, a man must be born again. Well, the part of you that gets born again is your spirit man. It will live, your spirit man, because it originated from God, will live forever. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot come to an end. But where it resides is entirely up to you. Now, if you're an intelligent human being, you will accept the Lord. It's the oddest thing to me that any intelligent human being is not a Christian. It's the strangest thing how intelligent people could not be a Christian. If they really knew and understood the gospel, even the basics of the gospel, why they wouldn't be a Christian, it's hard for me to believe. But many of them are not, amen? But when you accept the Lord Jesus, you know, that we tell people to pray the sinner's prayer. It's not really the sinner's prayer because they don't have to mention their sins. But we call it the sinner's prayer because that's who prays it. But you accept the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I accept you. And I now call you as my Lord and Savior. And of course, sometimes we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, but that's not really part of the sinner's prayer. It doesn't hurt. But really, the two things you've got to do is to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as your Lord. And that's it. Believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you believe that, then you had to believe that Jesus came, that he went to the cross, that he died. And so the end of redemption is that God raised him from the dead. That's when redemption actually was completed. And we got Easter coming up in a week, right? God raised Jesus from the dead. That's how you get into the body of Christ. But the second part, and really it's just important, and in some ways more important, confess him as your Lord. I now choose to yield my life to someone else that's greater than I am. And I choose to yield my life to that person whom I call the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's now your Lord. And so a lot of people, you know, I want to get saved. Okay, are you willing to give up your life to the Lord? Well, I'll try. Well, then you haven't really confessed him as your Lord. You've confessed him as your almost Lord. Well, that doesn't get you into heaven, right? You've got to confess him actually as your Lord, right? I choose to yield to this person, the Lord Jesus, to now be chief in charge of my life. All the days of my life, and really for all eternity, I choose to yield to him. He is now my Lord. Amen? And we should never de-emphasize that when we're getting people born again. Amen? We should, in fact, emphasize that. That's really because a lot of times people, they get swept up in emotions of the gospel and the preaching, and they come down, they cry and slobber a little bit, but they go back to their life on Monday exactly the same. Not changed at all. Why? Because they missed the key part of choosing to yield to him as their Lord. Amen? He's asking a commitment from you. And see, if you were smart and knew that he cared and loved deeply for you, it would be easy for you to do that. If you knew how much he really loved you, it would be the easiest thing in the world to accept him as your Lord. Because he only wants the very best for you. Amen? In fact, he wants better for you than you can even imagine. And so we get born again, but that's not the end of our spirits, right? The Bible says that he seals our spirits by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And so our spirits are alive unto God. They are perfect. They're created in the image and likeness of God. They need to be matured and grown up by teaching them the Word of God and by feeding them times of prayer. But there are no errors in your spirit. Amen? There's no holes in your spirit. Your spirit cannot mislead you. Amen? It doesn't know all that it needs to know, but it will never lead you down a path of sin. And so it's a sure guide. Amen? And the Spirit of God will speak to your spirit and lead you and guide you in all truth. And that's a wonderful place to be as a Christian. Amen? That's a wonderful place because we have access. Now, we talked about how he prophesied, even in the Old Testament, I will write my laws upon their hearts. So everywhere you go, you have access to the entire knowledge of God. Amen? It's not just the law. His laws are not just fully contained in the Old Covenant. His laws are everything that you need to know in your life. Should you go down that road or go down the other road? Well, that's not in the Bible, but it's in the law of God. My will for you is to go down the road on the left-hand side. Amen? Whatever that law is, whatever that law for you is in that moment, Lord, should I do this or should I do that? Well, that's the law of God. That's his plan for your life. Well, that's not, that specifics of that are not contained in the Word of God, but they are contained in his Spirit. And if you'll listen to the Spirit of God, he will show you those things. So you have access to the whole counsel of God everywhere you go. He wrote them upon your hearts when you accepted him. Now, you may not know how to access that. You may not even know they were there. A lot of people, I was talking to a friend of mine years ago, and I've told you this before. He's a member of the First Church of Doubt and Unbelief, and he doesn't believe God does anything, right? I said, well, does the Spirit of God speak to you supernaturally? No. Do you believe in miracles? No. Do you believe he's speaking in tongues? No. And I'm like, well, what's the Holy Spirit then do? I mean, if he's not doing any of those things, because he said to lead you and guide you all truth, show you things to come, write his law upon your hearts, right, and give you wisdom and understanding and show you the will of God, he's not doing any of that, so what's he actually doing? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Well, you know, that'd be, you think about that. The Spirit of God is actually the part of God, right? You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the plan of everything is in the heart of God the Father. Jesus is the administrator. He's going, okay, that's what you want, Father? We'll do it. And then the Holy Spirit, his power is what actually causes everything to happen. So the universe was created by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the direction of the Lord Jesus, by the counsel of God the Father. And so the Holy Spirit, that power that created the universe, every star in the sky was created by the power of the universe, lives inside of you. And you're telling me he's doing nothing. That's a lot of wasted power in your life. Amen. The same power that created the star that's spinning around the sun right now, that, you know, it's 93 million miles away, right? A million Earths could fit inside the sun. And you're telling me that power lives on the inside of you and he's doing nothing. Wow, that's amazing, right? And so, but of course, he's not doing nothing, which is a double negative, right? He is actually doing much in your life if you will listen to him. Amen. And he will speak to your spirit about those things. Then we got over, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. So we were gone last week, so we're just kind of catching up a little bit here. We can't go back and rehearse everything that we've taught, obviously. And so we got to Galatians chapter 5. And Galatians chapter 5, this verse, I believe, is one of the most powerful verses in the New Testament church. And yet, it's often ignored because it doesn't preach nearly as well as some of the hellfire and damnation kind of churches. Amen? And so I think we had some folks that said, you know, they want to go somewhere else because we don't preach hellfire and damnation enough around here. Sorry, you know, I got Galatians 5:16. I really don't need to preach hellfire and damnation. Amen? But anyway, I got Galatians 5:16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Is that a true statement? Yes. It is true. Why do we know it's true? It's in the Bible, right? I pulled that from Brother Randy, right? He always says, how do we know it's so? Because the Bible says so. Amen? So it says, now we don't necessarily yet know, because we haven't taught it yet, what it means to walk in the Spirit, but let's just say you could do that, right? We're going to teach you how to do it, but let's just say you could do it, that you could walk in the Spirit. If you could walk in the Spirit completely and fully, how much of the lust of the flesh would you fulfill in your life? According to that verse. Zero. So if you could actually walk in the Spirit all the time, how much sinning would you actually do? None. So why are we all the time just beating you up about sin? Seem like we'd be better off teaching you about walking in the Spirit. Amen? Because if I just tell you, don't do that, and I give you a list, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, then what you're going to do is you're going to keep that list. Okay, I'm not doing any of those things, so I must be okay. I can guarantee you, if that's your measurement of I'm not doing those three things that you're okay, you are not okay. Because there's always a list. Amen? You know, in my walk with the Lord, there's always a list with him. He's always like, hey, stop doing that. Like, okay, Lord, okay. And I get done with that. Like, man, I have really arrived. And he goes, you got that done? Yeah. Okay, here's the next one. What? I thought we were done. And no, we're never done. Because do I look just like Jesus yet? Do I sound just like Jesus? Do you talk just like Jesus yet? If the answer is no, you've got a lot of work to do. Amen? Now, some people got more work to do than others, right? But that's another discussion. And so Paul said, if you have the capacity, and if you are walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have gotten completely backwards in the church of focusing so much on sin. Now, I'm not saying it's okay to sin. Obviously, I'm telling you it's not okay to sin. Amen? But our focus should be on here's how to walk in the Spirit. If you're fully invested in walking in the Spirit, sin becomes just such a non-issue in your life. You know, some people are always in their, because they're so carnal and so immature as Christians, they're always trying to figure out, what can I get away with? They're always trying to figure out, how can I walk right on the edge of sin and maybe just every now and then, you know, visit there a little bit, but, you know, stay back on this side most of the time, but visit a little bit on occasion. They're trying to figure out how to live on the edge of sin all their life and not get in too much trouble. But the Christian who's walking in spirit, I don't have time for that. I have no interest in sinning. I have no interest in lying or cheating or stealing or gossiping or backbiting or being in pride. I don't have time for any of that. I'm focused on walking in the Spirit. I'm focused on how do I be more sensitive to the Spirit of God every day? How do I hear what the Lord wants me to do every day? Because what I have found, if you live that way, what you find is you're full of joy all the time. You're happy all the time. You're healthy all the time. You're prosperous all the time. If you walk in the Spirit, you have access to the fullness of God every day in your life. Why wouldn't you want that? But people all the time, you know, they think they're happier when they're in sin. You're not happy when you sin. You're miserable when you sin. The Bible does say that there is pleasure of sin for what? A season, right? You might enjoy it for that nanosecond, but immediately after that, your spirit man, not God, he's not beating up, but the Bible talks about that your heart can condemn you. Your heart be like, stupid, why'd you do that? It's not God condemning you. It's your own self saying, you know, I can't believe you did that. And you ever said that? I can't believe I did that. We've all said that. Amen. We've all regretted things we've done. But see, if you walked in the spirit before that, that temptation or that option to do that thing would come to you and you go, I don't have time for that. I'm walking with the Lord. Amen. And so it seems to me that we would be much better off focusing on Galatians 5:16 than focusing on here's a list of bad things that you shouldn't do. Because first of all, the Bible is not inclusive of all the bad things that you can do. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you can't steal a car. Because there are no cars in the Bible, right? Well, it's not in the Bible. It must be okay. The law of God in your heart would tell you don't steal a car. Amen? Well, I'm going to go slash that guy's tires. It's not in the Bible, so it must be okay, right? Because why? There are no tires in the Bible. Amen? You think it's okay to slash someone's tires if they really are mean to you? No, it's not okay to slash someone's tires. Well, how do you know that? Because the law of God is written in your heart. You know that because the Spirit of God is in you telling you don't do that. Amen? So if we could focus on learning how to walk in the Spirit, then we would be much better off. Now, in the same chapter down in verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So now Paul is giving us a little bit more insight here about walking in the Spirit. And so we want to talk in this area a little bit more about what it means to walk in the Spirit. So we had mentioned, we're not going to go back there, but over in the book of Romans, it says Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So he said, you're in the Spirit if the Spirit of God dwells in you. So by definition, as a child of God, as a Christian, you automatically are living in the Spirit. That's your address, right? Your new address once you get born again is you move from wherever you live physically. Now you're living in the Spirit. So you're there automatically. Now, the next step, though, is walking in the Spirit. So Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So you live in the Spirit by becoming born again Christian, a child of God. But the walking in the Spirit becomes a choice. Amen. You choose to walk in the Spirit. So let's look at a couple of verses in relation to that. We're still here in Galatians chapter 5. Let's see. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. We'll do that and we'll come back to Galatians chapter 5. So Romans chapter 8 is really a great chapter. I could spend a long time just in Romans chapter 8. But we're going to start here in verse 5 because we need to understand what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Because if we can do that, see then how much sin we get involved with starts dropping significantly. It's amazing how many Christians just seem like they're just struggle so much in their life, just all the time, just either they're mad or they're unhappy or they're depressed or, you know, they're doing things that they ought not do, just, you know, things that are maybe not only just unholy, but just, years ago, we had a fella in our church when I was with my pastor. He said, I believe God's called me to the ministry. Okay, well, you know, that's fine. It's not my job to decide if he's called to the ministry. You know, that's between him and the Lord. And so the pastor said, well, tell you what, is it okay if we get some other men in the church to just have a conversation with you and just, you know, kind of see how things are going? He goes, yeah, no problem. So the pastor asked me to be one of them, right? Were you in that meeting, Jerry? You was in that meeting? Okay, I didn't remember you was in the meeting. And so me and Jerry go way back there. And so we've survived, haven't we, Jerry? We have made it. We haven't made it all the way, but we've made it through a lot of things. And so in that meeting, we were just discussing. And so they said, well, anybody got any questions for the fellow? And so now, see, I didn't really know him that well, right? So I asked him a question. I said, well, you know, the Bible says that we should do things right in the sight of all men, do things honest in the sight of all men. And I knew that he was like a contractor type. He did painting and that kind of stuff. And so I said, well, you know, the Bible says that we should do things honest in the sight of all men. And I said, so what's your reputation in town? Do you pay your bills? You know, do you do the work that you've been paid to do? You know, do you have a good reputation as a contractor type, right? As a painter? And I didn't know it, but sometimes you ask a question out of sincere honesty, and man, I touched the nerve. Yes, yeah, I do. Really? Well, okay. Apparently, he doesn't, right? I find out later that he doesn't. You know, he'll start a job, walk away from a job. He'll get paid, doesn't finish the job. You know, I'll be there Tuesday, never shows up. Well, I didn't know those things because, you know, I probably wouldn't have asked him the question if I knew those things. I wasn't trying to torpedo him, right? Oh, I'll show him, right? But he had a terrible reputation. And if you can't do things honest inside of all men, then what's the point? What's the point of being a Christian if you're a liar or cheat? Amen? And the fellow that he's doing the contract work there, his first project he did with us was 11 years ago. We didn't know each other at the time. We've got to be good friends since then. But when he got done with the project, we just had him redo the bathrooms in there. He said, before he started, how much do you think this is going to cost? Because, you know, most pastors say it should cost a nickel, right? And we budgeted a nickel to renovate both bathrooms, right? And we're not paying them more than a nickel. Well, who wants to do? Anybody want to sign up for that job, right? You want to sign up for that job? You know, all the plumbing, all the everything. I mean, no. And I said, well, it's probably going to cost about $15,000. He goes, that's right. That's exactly how much it's going to cost. That's how much he charged to do that. Amen. And so when he got done, he said, you know, I don't like working with churches. Because he said, so many times I get done with it and they won't pay me. Because they say, well, this is the Lord's work. Yeah, the Lord walks in streets of gold, right? Just take a brick and you pay anybody, right? We just need one brick out of the road, Lord, you know, and can't you pay anybody? But how many Christians are that way? So now if you ask, you can ask certain people and they'll tell you how terrible our church is here because, there's always going to have that group over there. But if you ask anybody that we do any business dealings with, every one of them, that church always pays their bills, always. Amen. That church doesn't owe us anything. Amen. You can ask anybody in town. Amen. There's a few religious people that you shouldn't ask them because they'll give you a twisted opinion. But you can ask any contractor, right? Because we have a report that's honest inside of all men. Amen. All of our bills are paid. We don't owe anybody any money. Amen. In fact, we're debt free right now. So here in Romans chapter 5, so what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? See, if you could walk in the Spirit, you would never fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you could do that. So what's it mean? Well, we're going to read some verses right here. We'll find out. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So they're mindful or thinking about the things of the flesh, right? What do you dwell on in your thought life all the time? I've got to get over them. I've got to beat them at it. I've got to get... cheat them out of a dollar, right? I mean, there are people who think that all the time. They're all the time thinking, how do I get something out of you? How do I get your money? How do I cheat you out of business, right? They'll call you up and say, yeah, I can do that. And they know they can't do it. And they don't plan on doing it. They just want your dollar, right? Not dollar, tens of thousands of dollars, right? I was talking with a person. And look, I would encourage you. If you get a phone call like this and you're not sure, call me. Amen? Amen. But we had folks in the church that someone called them. I'm in Iraq. And they were a widow. And we are soulmates. But I'm having difficulties. Please send me some money so I can get out of here and save my life. And you're running all over town trying to get money to give this person. If they just called me, I would have said, did they say that you were their soulmate? Yeah. Did they say they were in trouble? Yeah. Did they say it has to be done right now? Yeah. Run. Hang up and don't ever answer that phone again, right? That's what you should do. But no, they were a widow and they gave thousands of dollars to this person. And this person had no problem at all doing it. Amen. But you know, there's people in the church that are just the same way. Just as sneaky and conniving and lying and thieving. I'm not their judge. Are they going to make it to heaven? I don't know. I hope they do. Amen. But he said here, to be carnally minded is death. Now, who is the book of Romans written to? It's written to the church. So is it possible for Christians to be carnally minded? We're carnal here, you know, it's not, you don't immediately go to just sexual sins. Carnally means to be naturally minded, right? Things of this natural realm, right? How much of a dollar can you steal from somebody else, right? How can you get over, you know, people are carnal like that all at church. You know, Christians should be the best workers in the world. Some Christians, you know, they get to work late and leave early, right? Well, that's called stealing, right? And they don't think anything about it. You know, I got one over on the manager. I showed him. You know, I left work a minute early. And God's like, yep, you did. Right? So, you know, he may never notice it, but who else does notice it? The Lord notices it, amen? So to be carnally minded, you know, I shouldn't have to work hard, right? You know, I shouldn't have to do these things, you know. I deserve not to work hard. You know, I mean, we could meddle a lot right there, right? But to be naturally minded is death. Now, the word death doesn't mean spiritual death, right? Because in the context of chapter 7 and chapter 8, he's not talking about spiritual death. He's talking about one of the definitions for death is lacking in power. No power, right? How much power do all the people in the city cemetery have right now? They got no power, right? They have no power to walk, no power to breathe. They got no power. And there are Christians today that live as a Christian with no power. Amen? They got no power, no supernatural ability in their life. Well, why is that? Because all they think about is this natural world. How they can get ahead of the guy next to them, how they can take care of themselves, what's important to them, how they can be comfortable, how they can feed themselves. You know, years ago, I used to run sound just like Jared does, but I also ran a thermostat, which was like the two worst jobs in the entire church, right? Thermostat and the sound. Because people can be so mean to you. I mean, people come up there, I hope you're happy, we're all deaf. They would say that with that tone. To me, the sound man, right? Now, they would never talk to the, oh, Pastor, we love you. But they come back and I hope you're happy, we can't hear, we're deaf. I mean, they would say that, we're deaf. I'm freezing to death. I'm burning up. And just with the worst attitude. Why? Because all they think about is this natural world. Amen. All they're thinking about is how comfortable are they in this natural world. And if you make me uncomfortable, you are not my friend. And I'll let you know about that. Right? And so carnally minded, right? Now, of course, based on my experience, I would never say, I mean, we go to Brother Randy's meetings and we bring all our leftovers there because it's freezing in there and they won't spoil, right? We can just put the food right there. It's so cold in his meetings. It's so cold, right? She's got blankets on. You know, the lady next to her had a whole, like, she brought a whole bedspread down from the room. She's covered up, right? And the guy next to her has got a scarf on, right? Pastor Michael, he lives in New York. He's got a scarf on in the meeting. Why? It's freezing cold in those meetings, right? It's always cold now in his meetings. Well, that's the way he likes it, right? I would never say, other than just joking, right? I mean, of course, I'm telling everybody now about it, right? But I would never say, I would never go back and say, would you do something about it? It's so cold in here. Never. It will never happen. Why? Because once the service starts, that's the last thing I'm thinking about. Even I'm cold, you know, I'm just not going to think about that. Amen? But some people, that's all they think about, is how comfortable they are in the flesh, right? Carnally minded, naturally minded. Are you making me comfortable? We had some folks come to church one time and go, well, I'm glad you got comfortable chairs here because I couldn't stand to sit that long in a chair, in an uncomfortable chair. It's like, yeah, because you're carnally minded, right? I mean, the word, you know, we're raising people from the dead. Yeah, but how comfortable are your chairs, right? People get healed from you know, leprosy, whatever. Yeah, but how thick is your cushion, right? And that's what's important to them. It doesn't matter how much God is moving. It doesn't matter how much the Word of God is being taught. It matters is how comfortable the backside of them there are, right? And so to be carnally minded is lack of power. No power. Amen? If your natural feelings and natural circumstances are the most important thing to your life, then you will live a life without power. He said to be carnally minded, to be naturally minded is death. Separation from the power of God. I believe they're on the way to heaven. There's nothing in it that you lose your salvation for being this way. But you lose the joy of this life. You lose the power of this life. And so is that what he says? But to be spiritually minded, to think about, meditate on the realm of the Spirit, right? Things related to the Spirit is life and peace, right? That word life there is the word zoe. And that's the God kind and the God quality of life. Think about if you could have the God kind of life. What kind of life is the God kind of life? Fullness of joy, fullness of peace, overcoming in every situation, always happy, never depressed, always full in your finances, full in the health of your body, fullness in the sound of your mind. That's the kind of life, right? Zoe life, the God kind of life. That's a pretty good life, amen? He said if you're spiritually minded, and to be spiritually minded is what it means to walk in the Spirit. That your thought life just, I mean, even if you got to turn wrenches and change oil and those types of things, your thought life is, Lord, you're so good. Even when you're changing the oil, even when you're mowing the grass, your thought life, right, you're walking in the Spirit. Your thought life is on to be spiritually minded, right, thinking about the Lord, meditating on the Lord. Your thoughts on, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to do that? Lord, what do you want me to say? And so when somebody comes up and they confront you, or there's a circumstance that occurs in your life, which they occur in all of our lives, instead of reacting, see, to be carnally minded, when that person comes and does something to you, a carnally minded person, a naturally minded person is, how do I win this battle against this person? How do I beat this person up? How do I, show this person that I'm right and they're wrong? But to be spiritually minded is, Lord, what do you want me to say to them? Lord, how would you like me to respond to them? Lord, would you even like me to respond to them? Sometimes the Lord says, just don't say anything. Well, you can't just say nothing. You could if you're walking in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God says, just don't say anything. Okay. Some people, it's impossible for them to not say anything. They talk way too much. Amen. Isn't there a proverb that says, in the multitude of words, there's sin? I think there's a proverb like that, right? In the multitude of words, there's sin. Talk less, you'll be better off, right? But see, if you're spiritually minded, when that circumstance or the situation arises, before you react to the natural world, because that's what carnally minded people do, is they only react to what people do. To be spiritually minded is, what they're saying or doing has nothing to do with me at all. Let me see what heaven wants me to do first. And see, instead of being so reactive to everything in your situation, it's easy for you, if you walk in the Spirit, it's easy for you to go, Lord, you want me to say anything about that? You want me to respond to them? And if the Lord says no, then a spiritually minded person goes, okay. A carnally person, well, Lord, you don't know what they did. I need to tell them. They need to know that I didn't do that. They need to know that they're wrong and I'm right. That's what a carnally person does all the time. Carnally minded person. Think only in the natural realm. Well, they need to know that I didn't do that. Why? What's their opinion? How does their opinion improve your life? Aren't you on your way to heaven? Isn't God for you and not against you? If God be for you, then what? Who could be against you, right? Is that not a true statement? It is a true statement if you believe it to be true. Amen? If you have faith that it's true. And so if you really believe that, then what people think of you is it just doesn't matter, right? There's a lot of people that, like I said, if you took a poll of certain people that have left the church here, oh, that's the worst church in the world. I mean, and it's like, well, give me specifics. Well, they don't have any specifics, right? They taught too much. I mean, I don't know what they actually would. I don't know, because they leave and they go, well, that's, one person said, your vision is wrong. Our vision, it says right there in like 10-foot letters, to reach the lost. So that's, you don't do that. Really? And those that have lost their way, yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, we shouldn't do that. And we advance the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, no way you should do that, right? You need to have like a feeding program. Really? I mean, okay. Other than the 5,000 and 4,000, but Jesus, how many consistent feeding programs did Jesus have? How many men's fellowship meetings did Jesus have? How many women's fellowship meetings did Jesus have? How many playgrounds did Jesus build? I mean, that doesn't mean any of those things are wrong. But is that our priority? I think our priority is to reach the lost. Amen? And those that have lost their way. How many Christians have lost their way? Amen? And so to be carnally minded is death. A Christian without power is living a life of death. Right? And much of the church right now is living without any power. No access to the power of Almighty God, the supernatural power that lives in them as the Holy Spirit. They have no access to that power. So for all intents and purposes, they have no power and they're living a life of death. I believe they go to heaven. Amen? And the Lord be like, dude, what's wrong? I mean, what happened? How'd you get here early, right? Well, Lord, they said something to me. I said something back to them. Next I know, I wake up in heaven, right? And so Well, see, if you're spiritually minded, they say something to you, and you go, hang on, let me see what heaven wants me to respond to this. And I don't say that facetiously. I do that all the time. And as soon as I get in a circumstance or situation, I'm immediately ignoring everything that people are saying, and Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? What would you like me to say? Sometimes I say things, sometimes I say nothing. Well, you can't just not... Sure you can. People say, oh, you can't do that. You can't live that way. Jesus lived that way. Thousands of people live that way. It's not unusual. It's not even difficult. Amen? Once you learn that you have a Lord, it's easy. Amen? He said to be spiritually minded, or to think about, meditate on, dwell upon the Spirit of God and what He wants for your life is life and peace. That's what it means to be walking in the Spirit. Just even though you're doing natural things, you always got that thought in your Lord, what do you want me to do here? You know, Lord, how would you like me to fix this? I mean, even when you do natural things that we got to do, Lord, you go get your vehicle filled up with gas. And, you know, just, I don't ever, it's not like I'm praying about it, asking, Lord, is it your will that I go to this gas station? But I'm just always sensitive, Lord, you know, I mean, if He wants me to go to a different gas station for whatever reason, I would go. You know, so you always live in that sensitivity of the Spirit of, Lord, you want me to do anything? You know, years ago, I'll just tell myself on this one, but it was around 2000 or so it's been more than 20 years ago. We were living, it had snowed that particular day, and so I was driving between here and there. The roads were okay, you know, not too bad. But I just had an unction, right? In my spirit, man, I had an unction, because when you walk in the Spirit of God sometimes will just give you an unction or an awareness or you know, in the natural world, we'd say, I have a hunch. But we don't like that because that's not a biblical phrase. The biblical phrase is I had a witness, right, or an unction to turn and take the shortcut. But when I looked over there, that shortcut was full of snow, right? Just a little short road there, not a well-traveled road. And the road I was on didn't have any snow. And so obviously the Spirit of God was wrong, right? Because, I mean, why would I turn off on a perfectly good road to go onto a road that had snow on it? Well, first of all, if it had snow on it, I would have driven, you know, with an appropriate amount of speed for that road, right? I'd have slowed down and made it to the other side fine. But no, I could drive faster on the road that I'm on than going slow through the snow. Well, obviously, the Spirit of God doesn't know what He's talking about. So being an intelligent human being and smarter than the Spirit of God, I decided it was better for me to go stay on the road that I was on. And, I'm being facetious, right? I'm not smarter than the Holy Ghost, obviously. And so I went around the curve and over the hill. When I topped the hill, at the bottom of the hill was the red light. Well, from the top of the hill to the red light was a sheet of ice. Now, who knew that? Well, the Spirit of God knew that, right? But I'm not driving like it's a sheet of ice. I'm driving like the road is perfectly clear, because it was for the 100 feet that I was on before I got to that part of the road. I had a four-wheel drive pickup. It doesn't matter if you have an eight-wheel drive pickup, a 100-wheel drive pickup. It doesn't matter what you've got. It's a sheet of ice. It's a sled, right? And so I'm just sliding down the hill, right? And there's a car at the bottom at the red light, right? And there's nothing I could do about it. Now, I wasn't going very fast, but I did hit that car and rear-ended them, right? And there was an older person. They took him to the hospital, had him checked out. He was fine. There was no danger, but they wanted to make sure, because he was an older gentleman, and didn't even damage my truck enough to even take it to the shop, and didn't damage his vehicle. But it did teach me something there. You know, the Lord is smart. And so, see, I had the unction, walking in the Spirit. I had the unction. I had the witness to do that. But I chose to ignore that, right? I chose to override it. I chose to make go back in the natural realm and examine the request from the Spirit of God and determine that He was wrong. And, you know, you just do that in a split second, right? It's not like, you know, let me write it down and think about it. You know, you just like that quick, you've already made that whole decision, right? And see, that showed me where I'm not walking in the Spirit as I ought to, because what you'll do is, the more you walk in the Spirit, the easier it is for you to do that. Because what if you're wrong? If it said to turn there, it wouldn't have been a big deal, right? I mean, the Lord's not going to lead you into danger. He's not going to lead you into harm. He's not going to lead you, you know, to where you'd hurt yourself. I should have just yielded to the Lord and turned there. Amen. I would have been better off. And hopefully I've learned something since then. Amen. And so he says here in verse 7, this still in Romans chapter 8, he said, because the carnal mind, the natural mind, right, the mind that only thinks about the natural world and how they can get ahead and how they can protect themselves and how they can make sure that they win and everybody else loses, the natural mind, right, the mind that's only focused on their comfort and their stability and their situation, their finances, whatever it is, amen, that they're right and everybody else is wrong. The carnal mind, the natural mind, is enmity, or the word, when was the last time you used the word enmity in a sentence, right? You don't use that word, right? It's hostile. Right? We know what hostile means, right? You ever been hostile people, right? You go to like every DMV counter in the world. I need to get a license. Well, who's asking? I'm just a citizen. I just need to get a license. Well, why do you want a license? Well, because, you know, I'd like to have a license, right? When we got married, we went down to the courthouse to get a marriage license. What did the lady say?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah. She said, she said, why wouldn't you want to do that? That's hostile, right? I'm just trying to get a marriage. She's hostile towards me because I'm going to get a marriage license. Like, well, you know, I guess I know who's better around here, right? And so... The natural mind is hostile against God. See, the Lord will tell the natural mind, hey, you don't need to talk like that. Well, Lord, you don't know what they did to me. See, your response to the Lord is hostile. A lot of times people's response to the Lord is so unkind, so disingenuous, so forgetting that they called him their Lord 5 seconds ago. You're my Lord. Well, I need you to not be so mean to your neighbor. Well, Lord, you don't know. They mowed on my side of the yard, my side of the property line, Lord. I can't not be mean to them. You're hostile. And the Lord deals with hostile Christians every day. You think about that. The Lord has to deal with the billions of Christians, and so many of them are just hostile towards him. Hey, I need you to walk in love. Well, I ain't doing that. Hey, I need you to give. I'm not doing that, Lord. They got plenty of money. Just hostile. Just hostile to the Lord. Hey, I need you to walk in love. They don't deserve it, Lord. The natural mind is hostile towards God. Now, he's talking to the church, right? He's not talking to the sinners, right? All sinners are hostile towards God. But even in the church, there's a significant portion of the church that's hostile, unkind, and reactionary to the Lord when he asks them to do something. Just even sometimes, just do my word. Well, I can't live that way. Read my Bible. I don't have time, Lord. Pray. Yeah. What good is that? Hey, quit saying that. Oh, I'm not quitting saying that, right? Oh, that just kills me. That just, you know, I just love him to death, right? All those things. Hey, stop saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not, you know, you're just trying to be religious. Blah, 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 right? Because the carnal mind is hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Now, see, and we said that the Christian said that you are now my Lord, which means that we have chosen to be subject to God. By calling him Lord, you're now saying, I now subject myself to your will and plan. But he said the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. So the carnal mind, the natural mind, is in rebellion to what you've already declared. You declared that he's your Lord, but your carnal mind, your natural mind, is in rebellion to what you've already declared. And that rebellion will rise up and cause you all kinds of grief. Amen. There's so many Christians just rebellious against the Lord. Just rebellious. Oh, I'm not doing that. I don't care. You know? I mean, you know, it's just, but the Lord has to deal with that every day. Rebellious Christians, right? They are not subject to the law of God. And the end of that verse is amazing. Neither indeed can it cannot be. The natural mind, it's impossible for the natural mind to stay the way it is and to also be subject to God. You have to change that mentality, right? To no longer be carnally minded, but to move over to being spiritually minded. A person who only thinks about the natural realm and their natural benefits and their natural circumstances, their natural situations, it is impossible for that natural mind to ever be subject to the law of God. It cannot be. That's what it says, right? It cannot be. It's impossible. Well, I thought there's nothing impossible to God. The only thing that's impossible to God is to change your will. He cannot change your will. He has chosen to constrict himself, to limit himself so that your will is sovereign from his will. That your will is only subject to his will if your will chooses to. Otherwise, he will not violate your will. And so he has chosen by his own decision to limit his ability to override your will. Amen. He will not turn. He will not change your will. He will tell you to change your will. He will encourage you to change your will. He will show you how to change your will, but he will not change your will. It is impossible. Amen. Is that what it says? It neither indeed can be. It cannot be. And so for us as Christians, what we have to ask ourselves is, Lord, is there anywhere in my life where I am naturally minded, where I dwell on what's the most important thing to me is my natural comfort. Most important thing to me is my natural position. You know, you get in churches, and I've seen this. We don't see this here because, you know, well, we went through a lot of things and we don't put up with stuff like that around here. But when I was with my pastor, how much jockeying for position is there in churches? Politicking in churches, right? I need to get that position. I want to get that role. I want to get that title. Well, that's naturally minded, right? And it causes so much grief in churches. Amen? And of course, I've taught you and told you many times, all of us here, including me, we are all servants of the Most High God. If you remain as a servant, you will always be okay. You get a title, praise God. You don't get a title, it doesn't matter, right? Are we all servants? If we're all servants, then it never matters. Amen. Well, you know, they never see what I do. Does God see what you do? Yeah. You want to go toe-to-toe? There are a lot of times I spent hours doing things for the church. And I told you I ran sound for like 18 years with my pastor. Himself, I don't know that he ever thanked me personally for running the sound for him. 18 years. Three services a week. For 18 years, not a single thank you from him. Not one. Does he owe me a thank you? Well, I was a servant. I didn't need to be thanked. Now it doesn't hurt to thank people, right? Some pastors are like, I'm not thanking them, they're servants. Well, you're a servant too. We're all servants, amen? Some of you, will thank me for a good message every now and then, right? I could thank you for, you know, whatever you do. Well, what's the difference, amen? Nothing different about that. So I'm not trying to get a thank you. If any of you come up and thank me for the service, I'm not listening to it, right? I'm not trying to get a thank you. Well, Pastor, I want to thank you for that message, you know. That's what I'm, because that makes me feel so good. It doesn't change me at all, amen? I do this because the Lord instructs me to, amen? It cannot be. Neither indeed can be. You think about that. The Lord's telling you that if you have a naturally minded life, if that's what you're focused on, it cannot be subject to God. And then he says, bad enough, verse 7, but then he really tops into verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh, or that mind the things of the flesh, right, or that are naturally minded, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot. The child of God, the Christian, on their way to heaven, he says it is possible for that person to be in a position where they do not please God. Now, it's not even saying that there's anything specifically about sin, right? It's what is their focus in their life? Focus only on the natural things. I mean, could you, plant a garden? Is that a natural thing? Well, yeah. Could you do that in such a way that pleases God? Sure. Could you do that in such a way that it doesn't please God? Sure. Amen? So it's not about the thing. It's about your whole focus is on the natural world. And you ignore the whole spiritual realm. Amen? Walking in the Spirit is being spiritually minded. It's having a thought life of, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, what would you like me to say to that person? Lord, how do you want me to do this thing? He's not asking you to quit doing everything you're doing because, I mean, how would things get done? You still got to do natural things. Still got to mow the yard. Still got to fill up the tank of gas. Still got to clean the house. I mean, there's still things you got to do. But even in the midst of all those things, you can be aware that the Spirit of God is always there, right? And that's what he wants to do is walk in the Spirit, is always have an awareness, mind the things of the Spirit, right? Be mindful and conscious of the things of the Spirit. He said, if you'll do that and you walk in that, right? So you're already there because you're born again, but if you be mindful, see, that requires an effort on your part. That requires a decision on your part. I'm going to think about, meditate on, be aware of the Spirit of God and the realm of the Spirit. If you'll do that, he said, you'll never fulfill the lust of the flesh. All your problems with sin just evaporate. You don't have to go, okay, I get rid of that one. Now let me work on this one. I get rid of that one. Now let me work on this one. There's no working on the list. It's working on the spirit realm. That the list evaporates. It just goes away. And to me, that's a much better position to be in than a list of sins that you're trying to overcome. Amen? It's just such a terrible... If all we focus on is sin, we're missing everything. We're missing this whole thing. Paul said to be spiritually minded is Zoe life, is God's kind of life and peace. And a lot of Christians who, how could you live in such peace? I'm spiritually minded. It's a fruit of walking in the Spirit. You get all these blessings. It's a great deal. Amen? Wouldn't you want to do this? Now look, does it take some effort? If you've never really walked in the Spirit as a Christian, it will be some of the hardest things you'll ever do, because you've got to train yourself and change your mentality to quit being so selfish, right? Because being carnally minded, naturally minded is self. You're only thinking about yourself. You're thinking about how comfortable you are, you know, the things you got to do and all this stuff. And you leave no room for God. And so it's a very selfish life. You're on your way to heaven, right? If you died, you'd go to heaven. But between now and then, you've got to change that mentality to start acknowledging there is a God in the earth. There is a God who lives in me. He may want me to do something that's different than what I'm doing right now. And the question is, are you willing to do that, right? Are you willing to take that right-hand turn on the snowy road when he wants you to? Well, Lord, I'll think about it. Carnal, right? That's carnally minded, amen? As if your thoughts might be more correct than the Lord's thoughts, amen? His thoughts are always right, amen? And so the question for us then, we got to go back, and we'll finish up. We're running out of time today, but we got to go back and look at a little bit more stuff in Galatians chapter 5 there, because he just has some good things to say in relation to that, and we'll pick that up next week there. But I want to spend some time on walking in the Spirit is minding the things of the Spirit, right? Being mindful of where you are, being mindful that the Spirit of God might actually speak to you. And when I say speak to you, it's more often than not, when the Lord speaks to you, it's just an unction or witness in you to, you know, to do something or to not say something or to say something or to buy something or something. It's just a witness on the inside of you. It's not like, you know, an email or a text message. It's really loud and it's very subtle, and it requires faith on your part to yield to that. Amen. But if you'll do that and be more mindful of that, you will start to recognize the leading of the Spirit more in your life. You'll start recognizing the presence of the Spirit more in your life. Amen. And it's the best place. He said, if you do that, it's life, Zoe life. It's the God kind of life and peace. If you can do that. So you've got to ask yourself, is that worth it? Is it worth it to you to put the effort to change your mentality to start being spiritually minded? Well, if you believe these verses, the answer should be an easy yes. Not a, I don't know. It seems pretty hard, you know. I don't know. What's in it for me? God kind of life. Okay, I don't know. People do that, right? They hear, you know, because I'm a salesman. That's what I'm doing up here all the time. I'm trying to sell the gospel to you. Amen? And I'm hoping you buy it. A lot of people go, nah, I don't know, you know. And I really, how can you not? You know, why wouldn't all of us go, yeah, sign me up for that, right? Every one of us, that should be our response. Yeah, let me do that. But every now and then you still go, people go, well, I don't know, I'll get back to you on that. Like, what? What's wrong with you? Right? That's what I want to say. I don't really say that. I go, okay, bless their heart, right? Which in Tennessee, that means what's wrong with you, right? And so in case you didn't know that, Gary, you know, I'm sure that Kathy could tell you that, right? Bless your heart is not really a sign of that you're being polite and it really thinks that you're stupid, right? But you don't want to say it that way. So Lord, bless their heart. Amen. But can you do this? Anytime you want to. You want to start right now? You can start right now. No problem. Amen. Easiest thing in the world. Amen. And so praise God. Is the Lord good? Yes. We'll pick this up next week. Let's bow our heads and pray for just a minute. Well, Father, we do thank you for your goodness and kindness. And Father, we thank you for your mercy that you've given to us. And Father, if you said that we can walk in the Spirit, if we can be spiritually minded, Father, then we have the ability to do that. You want us to do that, Father. Your word wants us to do that. Your Spirit wants us to do that. And so you're entirely on our side and are giving us the ability to do that. And so, Father, we commit our hearts right now, and I'd encourage you, pray this prayer with me. Father, I commit my heart to be spiritually minded, to walk according to your word, to listen to your Spirit, to dwell on and be mindful of your Spirit each and every day, Father. And Lord, as I do that, I thank you that I will see the Zoe life of God come into my life. the God kind and the God quality of life. And great peace will come into my life because of that. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I choose to do that as an act of my will, thanking you, Father, that you will help me and assist me in doing that. And, Father, we give you the praise for that. And just real quick, with the heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus, we talked a lot about being born again, about getting the Lord Jesus into your heart. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus and would like to accept him today, we'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you to accept the Lord Jesus. If you'd like to do that, if you'll raise your hands, we'll pray for you. Amen. Get you born again on your way to heaven. That's the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, Father, we just thank you for today's service. Lord, we thank you that as we come to at the end of our service, we have an opportunity to give into your kingdom. And Father, we thank you that because of your goodness that we can give back unto you a small portion of what you've provided for us. We thank you for being kind and giving us wisdom and the strength to earn an income, Father. We thank you for these things, Father. We call this offering blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Jared, if you'll come ahead, we'll receive this morning's tithes and offerings. Let's see. Don't forget we have healing school today at 3 o'clock. So we'll be back here we'll do healing school. We're still teaching from T.J. McCrossin's book on bodily healing and the atonement. It's kind of like a highbrow. You know, he's a real intellectual, you know, but he's doing a great job making the case that when Jesus went to the cross, he not only took care of your sins, he also took care of the healing of your body. Amen. Yeah. And there's a big push, and it's still there in the body of Christ, that, well, healing was not paid for in the work of the cross. It's like, what? I mean, I don't know how you come to that conclusion, but people do, right? Because they're against healing. And he's making an overwhelmingly positive argument that, yes, this was covered, and here's 1,000 scriptures that prove it. Amen. And so that's really what we're going through, and he's doing a great job. Of course, it was written nearly 100 years ago. In fact, the next book we're going to be looking at, the last edition was published in 1915. These folks had a lot of revelation on healing. Amen. And I think it's good for us to see that. Yes, sir.
They don't have to hunt for them, they just come and get them.
Yeah, we're just cutting out the middleman, going straight to the basket, right? But yeah, we'll have some stuff for the kids if they come, and they'll have a little Easter basket. And what?
And a church meal.
Oh, and a church meal, right, yeah.
Eggs.
Yeah, and with the eggs, right? And so... But we don't eat deviled eggs around here, right? That would be carnal. And so we don't do stuff like that. We're spiritual people. All right. Anything else? Work day, April the 6th at 9 o'clock, right? Healing school today at 3 o'clock. And then we'll be back here, of course, on Wednesday as well. So we'll be blessed, and you're dismissed.